More than 2,300 people, most of them women and children, have been killed and nearly 10,000 wounded in Israel's onslaught on the besieged Gaza Strip. Hamas political bureau chief Ismail Haniyeh says Israel's plot to evacuate the people of Gaza is doomed to fail as Palestinians will not leave their homeland. Iran has warned that the continuation of Israeli crimes against Palestinians will change the situation in the entire region. Good to have you with us. The Israeli regime keeps pounding the densely populated Gaza Strip relentlessly for the eighth day in a row, killing civilians and reducing buildings in the besieged Palestinian territory to rubble. And one of the latest strikes, the regime killed 27 Palestinians in Jabalia, north of Gaza. Some 2,300 Palestinians have been killed and nearly 10,000 wounded. Over 700 children are among the dead. At least 15 hospitals have been damaged by Israeli shelling and air raids. Palestinian resistance movement Hamas says at least 21 Israelis and foreigners held by the group were also killed in airstrikes. The attacks began last Saturday. More than 420,000 people in Gaza have been displaced since then. It's more than a million now. And more than a million Palestinians in northern Gaza facing an Israeli deadline on Saturday to flee to south. The territory remains under Israel's complete siege with no access to electricity, water, food, and medicine. Hamas chief Ismail Haniyeh has accused Israel of committing war crimes and preventing humanitarian aid from entering Gaza. Now, Sderot is an Israeli settlement close to the Gaza Strip. It's one of the places where fighters with the resistance movement Hamas infiltrated last week during Operation Al-Aqsa Flood. Nahal Alam Press Corps has been touring that settlement.
We are here in the Sderot settlement near the besieged Gaza Strip, which has been subjected to heavy Israeli strikes. Now, of course, many of the settlers have left this area after it was targeted by a barrage of rockets. Lots of material damage here, including to cars and buildings, and it happened at a time when there were a lot of settlers here. Sderot was hit by lots of rockets and missiles, and resistance fighters were present here when they started their Al-Aqsa flood operation. After heavy fighting, the Israeli army took back control of this area. A settlement that was once housing many settlers has now turned into a deserted town thanks to the rockets fired by resistance forces. There are now only military forces here. Still, rockets and missiles are being fired toward this area, rockets that are in response to the Israeli regime's crimes against Gaza. This place is located in the so-called Gaza Envelope, which has been declared as a closed military zone by the Israeli army. Huge numbers of forces and armored vehicles have been dispatched to this area by the regime, which has called up more than 300,000 of its reservists. The Gaza Envelope is still being targeted by rockets and missiles fired by resistance forces. There's also been sporadic fighting in this area, which demonstrates that the regime still does not have full control over all places in the Gaza Envelope. The Israeli army is still trying to once again bring it back under its full control, while regime intelligence forces have declared it a danger zone.
Now, as a part of its Operation Al-Aqsa flood against Israel, Hamas has fired thousands of missiles into the occupied territories. The Palestinian resistance movement has performed the farthest launch since its military campaign began on Saturday. The Palestinians say that Ayash 250 was fired at Israel's northern command base in the city of Safed. Israeli media claims it was intercepted by the regime's missile systems. Sirens were sounded all the way from settlements close to the Gaza Strip to cities such as Haifa. The missile has a range of 250 kilometers. Hamas previously stated that it could target anywhere in the Israeli-occupied territories. So far, more than 1,500 Israelis have been killed and 3,400 injured in Operation Al-Aqsa Flood by the resistance group. Hamas says it launched a military campaign in response to repeated Israeli desecration of Al-Aqsa Mosque and crimes and aggression throughout the decades. The head of the Hamas political bureau, Ismail Haniyeh, says the Palestinian people will never leave their land despite the recent Israeli bloodshed in the besieged Gaza Strip. Haniyeh says that Palestinians have a country and their country is Palestine. Hamas officials said that the people of Palestine will not emigrate from their land, despite the Israeli regime's barbaric crimes to eliminate the roots of Palestinian people. And he added that the return of Palestinian people to their ancestral land is close, given that the regime's plan that's assisted by the U.S. is doomed to fail. He praised the military wing of Hamas, the Al-Qassam Brigades, for performing the operation against the Israeli regime. The Lebanese resistance movement Hezbollah says it's targeted an Israeli military base in the border village of Shtula. In a statement, Hezbollah said it had struck the site with guided missiles, causing casualties. The attack came in response to Israeli attacks on journalists and other Lebanese civilians. The Israeli military confirmed that one of its positions was hit. It said the missile fire from Lebanon killed one person and wounded several others. The regime added that it responded by targeting Hezbollah's positions. Okay, now let's continue with our rolling coverage. Let me invite Zain al-Abidine Gaddafi. He's the coordinator with the Zaxaki Foundation in Cape Town, South Africa. Good to have you with us, Zain al-Abidine. So you just heard the intro in our news bulletin, and you're well aware of what's been happening in the Gaza and the suffering that the people in Gaza have been going through, and all the loss of life and the plight of the Palestinians, especially in that tiny strip. So I want to ask you one basic question. Who's accountable for all this loss of life and suffering on the people of Gaza?
Aya, thank you for having me on the show, and apologies for only being able to tune in via your base call. We are at the funeral of one of our anti-apartheid struggle heroes that passed away today, and of course, in his pursuit of social justice, he would love that we answer the call to speak to the plight of Palestinians and Palestine. We see that today the loss of life in Palestine and throughout most of the Middle East is a result of the colonial powers, that is the United States of America, as Imam Khomeini termed them, the Great Satan, and of course, particularly in Palestine, the colonial illegitimate regime, incorrectly known as Israel, that has imposed themselves and have imposed a military colonial occupation on the Palestinian lands. Therefore, we see when the Palestinian people rise for their liberation, they fight, they attack. This is what we call self-defense, which is the innate God-given right of all people and animals to defend themselves. Therefore, when Palestinians rise, this is the war of liberation, and we must make a clear distinction between wars of liberation and wars of occupation. While the Zionist regime impose themselves, Palestinians are rising out of defense. Therefore, all loss of life and all violence within that region is a result of the illegitimate existence of the Zionist regime.
Okay. And Mr. Gaddafi, are we expecting an escalation? Let's talk about Tel Aviv's plan for Gaza. What do they have in their mind? Do they want to raise it to the ground, evacuate it? What's the plan?
Yes, look, in the Middle East, there's always been one agenda since the creation of the illegitimate Zionist regime, and that is a new world order, a new Middle East, where we see them erase the Palestinian people through a violent, military, sadistic, ethnic cleansing and genocide of the Palestinian people so that they may enforce their existence. But of course, we see that throughout 75 years, the resilience, the strength, the courage of the Palestinian people has not allowed this Zionist vision to take place. And of course, now more than ever, with the coordination between the resistance axis, led by the organic heart of the resistance, the Islamic Republic of Iran, along with the Hashd in Iraq, Hezbollah, the Ansarullah in Yemen, and other pockets of resistance, coordinating with the Palestinian factions, the resistance in Palestine and the greater global resistance does not allow this sadistic, genocidal vision of the illegitimate Zionist regime.
Mm-hmm. Zain al-Abidine, do you expect a ground invasion by the Israeli regime? And what should we anticipate? Because, you know, you've heard about all those tunnels that Palestinians have dug in Gaza, and the Tel Aviv regime has rarely ever dared you know, embark on a ground invasion of Gaza.
When we look at the Zionists currently, we see the blow of the Operation Al-Aqsa Flood that has totally shattered the intelligence networks of the Zionist regime, even though they are supported by superpowers like the United States. They were not able to preempt the attack. We also saw the superior usage of military precision by the Palestinian factions against the Zionists. When the Operation Al-Aqsa took place, Palestinians were not ignorant of the fact that the Zionists may try to strike back. So if there is a ground invasion by the Zionist regime, they will suffer significant losses, and the Palestinian resistance is well prepared to defend themselves and their people.
This huge funeral that's been underway for maybe the past couple of hours, and is actually, people are mourning the loss of a number of Hezbollah members who lost their lives in the latest Israeli attacks on Lebanese territory. Let's talk about Hezbollah's reaction to Israeli attack against the people of Gaza and the situation around it.
You can see that the Islamic resistance in Lebanon, Hezbollah, under its great and immaculate leadership, has always been not only a thorn, but recently become, with the support of Iran, an existential threat, or as an extension of Iran and the Islamic resistance in Iran, an existential threat to the existence of the illegitimate regime. And with the ongoing back and forth from the illegitimate regime, we see that Hezbollah has targeted a number of security locations and military locations of the Zionist regime, which has thus prompted them in this reaction. So the Lebanese resistance has remained steadfast, they've remained resolute, they've given unwavering support for the Palestinian resistance, and the mandate has always been clear, proven in action, that they've defeated the illegitimate regime in 2000, they've defeated and expelled them from Beirut in 2006, and of course that in the upcoming battle, the battle for the liberation of the oppressed, Hezbollah will be part of the forces to defeat and destroy the illegitimate Zionist regime.
Okay, and in the meantime, when these atrocities have been happening against the people of Palestine, the people in Gaza, you know, that big loss of life and the whole suffering imposed on the people there, they have been under this all-out siege for 16, 17 years. And every now and then, you know, every few years, there has been, you know, a number of wars also on Gaza. And this is the ninth day that we see this latest incursion. In the meantime, we have the support of the people for worldwide for Palestine. As we speak, we have Iraqis. They have conversion in the Iraq capital, Baghdad. They're waving Palestinian flags, and they're making their voices heard. That they are standing there for Palestine, and they are slamming the Israeli crimes committed against the Palestinians. And Iraqi people, Iraqi government, well, in this case, they are the same in both the people and the government. They have announced their support for the people of Palestine and that they slam Israeli actions and crimes against them. But in the West, now we had pictures from Copenhagen, from Amsterdam, from elsewhere in Europe, where people think differently from their governments. Let's look at the stance that the European Union, for example, has adopted regarding Palestinian. People say something, but their governments take the Israeli side. Let's focus on that a little bit.
I think it's clear today there is a global shift of consciousness for the last few months or few years amongst the global masses, and people are rising against the sentiments of the governments, especially in the West. Like you mentioned, in Iraq, the people and the government are in the same stance. Iraq, the Iraqi parliament took a decision to say no to normalization with the illegitimate Zionist regime. And around the world today, currently in the USA, we see that the masses are protesting in support of the Palestinian people and in support of Palestine's right to resist, regardless of the government. So we see that there is a failure on behalf of the propaganda machine of the imperialists because they are failing in convincing the ordinary people of the world to support a genocide and ethnic cleansing of the Zionist regime. In South Africa, in my own city, Cape Town, at the southernmost tip of Africa, the masses have come out through various days of the week, protesting in support of Palestine. And of course, as the adherents of the resistance, we are promoting the right, God-given, humanistic right of Palestinians to rise by arms and to fight with the aim to eradicate and destroy the Zionist regime. This narrative is the narrative that is being accepted by the peoples of the world. And of course, while there is an advocation for the right of Palestine to exist, we need to advocate for this very same people to support the right of armed resistance for the liberation of Palestine.
Okay, thank you so much for your contributions. And Labadin Gaddafi, coordinator with the Zakzaki Foundation in Cape Town, South Africa. Now let's go on with our news broadcast. Iranian foreign minister warning that the situation in the region will not remain the same if the Israeli regime's crimes against Palestinians continue. Hossein Abdullahian says that Tehran will continue its efforts to stop the Israeli war crimes and will never fall short of its principles in supporting Palestine. He made a comment in a meeting with a Hamas leader in Qatar. Ismail Haniyeh, for his part, said that Operation Al-Aqsa Flood dealt a strategic blow to Israeli regime, and the war crimes in Gaza show their confusion. Amir Abdullahian also met with his Qatari counterpart earlier, stressing the need for ending the siege of the Gaza Strip and withholding food, water, and electricity. He's engaged on a diplomatic tour of West Asian countries, focusing on Israeli strikes on Gaza. Amir Abdullahian has already visited Iraq, Lebanon, and Syria, and he's met with high-ranking officials in those countries. All right, with that, we come to the end of this newscast from Tehran.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/ParsTodayEN. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/ParsTodayEnglish.
Tell a little about yourself.
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of writing.
Listeners special.
In the name of God, the All-Compassionate, the All-Merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warmest greetings to you all. Welcome to another edition of Listeners Special on this Sunday, October 15th, 2023. I'm Atefe Erfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views and outlooks are presented through your emails, your letters, and your messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about IRIB English Radio programs. Tell us which which program or programs you like the most. And if you have any message for our listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. Remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. Please keep us company until the end of the program. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and here we've received reception reports from around the world, from Bill McDavid from the US, from Kurt Ettlinger from Germany, and from Rob den Boer from the Netherlands. So thank you for your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio, Bill, Kurt, and Rob. We want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. And of course, we've received piles of letters and emails from around the world, which I mentioned some of your names here. And later during the program, I will read these emails. From India, we've received an email from Najmuddin, one of our old and regular listeners. Bill McDavid from the US has sent us a piece of email. From the United States, Muhammad Khaku, one of our old and regular listeners, has sent us an email. And the last but not the least in this edition of Listeners Special, we have an email from Akiyoshi Taraoka from Japan. Stay with us, please. I will be back with you. Welcome back. As I said, from India, we've received an email from Najmuddin, one of our old and regular listeners. Najmuddin says, "Dear friends, Assalamu alaikum. Congratulations to Hamas's heroic campaign against Zionist Israel in retaliation for long years of oppression, brutality, blockade, and occupation. I look forward to the good news of the Palestinian people's determination and self-sacrifice in their final victory against Zionist Israel. Palestinian fighters upset Israel's balance by launching a surprise attack. Like rabid dogs, they pounced on Gaza's unarmed population and residential buildings. I call upon the Muslim Ummah to come forward against the tyrannical Israel's move to stop the supply of water, fuel, electricity, and food. The victory of the oppressed over the oppressor is certain. Salam and warm greetings from Tehran, the capital of Iran, to you, Najmuddin, from India. And thank you very much for this email. Thank you for your sharing your thoughts and attitudes about the world developments, especially the developments in Palestine, what is happening in Gaza. And as you said, the victory of the oppressed, meaning the Palestinians over the oppressor, that is the fabricated Zionist regime of Israel, is certain. Najmuddin from India, thank you for your email. Thank you for everything. Please write to us soon. And please accept our electronic QSL as verification through your email. And from the United States, we've received an email from Bill McDavid. Bill says, "Dear staff, my name is Bill McDavid, and I'm sending this reception report from Florida, the U.S. I heard a piece of news, a story concerning the British SAS actions in Afghanistan and resulting legal cases. I found it interesting. EQSL would be greatly appreciated. Thank you." Salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, Bill McDavid from the US, and many thanks for this email. So, you heard a piece of news about the British actions in Afghanistan and resulting legal cases, which was actually part of our news program. Bill McDavid from the US, thank you for this email. Please, in your upcoming emails or letters, please let us know which program or programs you like the best. Thank you again for writing to IRIB English Radio, and please accept our electronic QSL or EQSL as confirmation. We wish you all the best, and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Welcome back. Mohammad Khaku from the U.S. has sent us a piece of email. Mohammad Khaku says, Hamas resistance movement says attacks on occupying Zionist Israeli regime is a natural response to Al-Aqsa storming attack on Jenin and beyond by Zionist Israel forces and settlers confiscating Palestinian lands. The U.S. and the Europeans provide endless supplies of money and weapons to this cancerous regime. God willing, every day could be Israel's last day. The whole world screams about terror. What about Israel terror? Israel is certainly the most monstrous regime which has committed genocide and ethnic cleansing. Salam and warm greetings from Tehran, the capital city of the Islamic Republic of Iran. And thank you very much for writing to us, Mohammad Khaku from the U.S. And as you mentioned, the U.S. and its European allies are the ones that fund and enable the Zionist regime, the fabricated regime of Israel, to commit the most heinous crimes in Palestine, in Gaza. And Western regimes know exactly what the Israeli regime is doing in Gaza, unfortunately. And of course, the Western regimes are complicit in the crimes against Palestinians, in the crimes that the Zionist regime is doing in Gaza and in Palestine in general. However, they should know that the Palestinians refuse to surrender and they refuse to disappear. Palestinians, of course, will resist and fight until they have overthrown the yoke of the Zionist regime, colonialism, and of course, the Palestinians will at the end achieve their freedom. Thank you very much, Mohammad Khaku from the U.S., for letting us know your notions about the world developments, especially the Gaza case, the Palestine. Please write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. And please accept our electronic QSL as confirmation to this email. We wish you all the best. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special. And as I was reviewing the letters and emails before the program, most of the emails and letters focus on what is happening in Gaza, the Zionist regime's crimes and brutality against innocent people, innocent Palestinians, innocent children in Gaza that are being ignored, buried, and replaced by the Western propaganda narrative perpetuated by the Zionist settler colonial regime. Unfortunately. And this time, Akiyoshi Teraoka from Japan, one of our listeners from Japan, has sent us a piece of email which focuses on the Zionist regime's brutality against innocent Palestinians. So Teraoka says, in this conflict, I would like to support Palestine. I think this crisis happened as a result of Israel's continued oppression in various ways against Palestinians. I can understand how they feel under constant pressure and for decades. I check Palestine TV's Facebook page from time to time. Their coverage shows how horrific the situation in Palestine has become. It is really heartbreaking. In Japan, this issue has been covered extensively. By the way, it may come as a surprise to you, but in Japan, many people support Palestine. The Japanese government used to support the Palestinian delegation when it became a UN observer state. However, I wonder why the Japanese government does not recognize Palestine as a state. It may be due to the influence of the US, but there is also a Palestinian delegation in Japan, and relations between Japan and Palestine are good. I recently donated to send relief supplies to the people of Palestine. It is a small amount, but I decided to donate if it is useful. Now, when will peace come? I can say this with certainty. There should never be war because people will suffer. Salam and warm greetings to you, Akiyoshi Taraoka from Japan, and thank you very much for writing to IRIB English Radio. And of course, appreciations to you for writing about the situation in Palestine and in Gaza and what the Zionist regime is doing against Palestinians and as you may know, hundreds of innocent children from Gaza are suffering what the Zionist regime is doing against them. And thank God, justice-seeking people and freedom-seeking people still in the world exist, like you and many of our listeners in the world, around the world, who consider this issue about Palestine and the situation in Gaza. Thank you again for writing to IRIB English Radio, Akiyoshi Taraoka from Japan. We wish you all the best. And of course, we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. So please accept our electronic QSL as confirmation to this email. And we wish you all the best. And here we come to the end of our today's program. Many thanks for being with us. And before I say goodbye to you, I would like to send my warm gratitudes and appreciations to those of you who have kindly written to us, especially Bill McDavid from the US, Kurt Ettlinger from Germany, Rob Den Boer from the Netherlands, Najmuddin from India, Mohammad Khaku from the US, and Akiyoshi Taraoka from Japan. Please write to IRIB English Radio and listeners a special program. We wish you all the best. God bless you and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We will be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send us emails to englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at parstoday.ir/en. Our phone number is 0098-21-2201-3720. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Salaam alaikum wa rahmatullah. This is Hussein Latifi and you're listening to your program for humanity from IRIB English Radio. In this episode, we were talking about Quranic teachings related to mankind and the concept of humanity in the Holy Quran. And we talked about the role that faith and belief has to play in the overall perfection of mankind. And we said that this faith has different levels. And it's possible to increase the faith. Like the way there are different ways to increase other aspects of soul, like, for example, virtues, or, for example, some qualities that we have and we want to increase them. Also, faith is like that. It's a quality that we have as human beings and we can increase them. According to the verses of the Holy Quran, there are some techniques or some ways to increase our faith. One of them is to think. And maybe you ask to think about what? So Quran says one of the things that we can think about is the history and the destination or the destiny of previous nations. In one verse we recite, أَفَلَمْ يَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَيَنْظُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَقِبَةُ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. Why those who don't believe, why don't they go around the earth and see what happened to previous nations? The fact that this life is transient and the fact that this life could be very misleading. When we go and see the rise and fall of different civilizations, what made them be prosperous and what made them fall? By studying this, we realize that one element common to all failures of in the history of humanity is losing hope and losing trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, losing trust in the final destination of mankind and getting busy with some worldly pleasures. So Quran says, think about these things, that if you're powerful, you have anything you want, then you're not better than some previous nations that were like exactly like that. And where they are now, they're gone all. So this is the destiny that is waiting for us as well. And the thing that we can get for ourselves from this short period of time that we have in this life, we should think what that is, the plan that we have for our eternal life, not be made busy with those transient worldly matters. Or in other words, Quran says, أَفَلَمْ يَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَتَكُونَ لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ يَعْقِلُونَ بِهَا. So we have people who have gone around the world, or they go here and there sightseeing and visiting different places of the world. But it's not necessarily that they see those things with analysis. It's very important. A person might be sitting at home, but he has a great insight of the history of humanity, of different civilizations, different communities and societies and nations. And it's possible for a person to be in trips here and there, but he does not have that profound insight. Wherever he goes, he just goes to see some superficial things and without getting deeper to the meanings, getting deeper to the history of cultures. Quran says, فَتَكُونَ لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ يَعْقِلُونَ بِهَا. If you want to do sair, go around the earth, before that you should get ready or you should prepare your mind and your heart to understand things. And this is very important. And he says, some people, they don't have a blind eye, but they have a blind heart. They see a lot of things, but they don't take lesson from those things. We will have a break and come back to continue some of the ways that Quran suggests for increasing our faith.
Dear listeners, you are listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at English Radio, at irib.ir.
Welcome back. This is Hussein Latifi. You're listening to your program for Humanity from IRIB English Radio. We were talking about the ways that Quran suggests for having a better faith or increase in one's faith. And this verse says contemplation and thinking about the verses of the Holy Quran. أَفَلَمْ يَدَّبَّرُوا الْقَوْلَ أَمْ جَاءَهُمْ مَا لَمْ يَأْتِ آبَاءَهُمُ الْأَوَّلِينَ. Why don't they ponder upon and contemplate and think about the verses of the Holy Quran? And this is unfortunately true even for many Muslims, that some of us, we don't recite the Holy Quran that much. Some of us just recite the surface, I mean, just the words, like a ritual, formal act. But we don't contemplate over the verses as it deserves, so let alone other people. So Quran says, if you want your faith to be increased, one way is to think about the verses of the revelation. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا. Believers are those for whom, when the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is recounted, their heart gets prepared, or vajilat, a kind of fear that is not fear, a kind of fear that is, let's say, it's a sense of awe and bewilderment. And وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ, and when the verses of the Holy Quran or the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is recited for them, their faith is increased. So this is a sign of iman, to think about the verses of the Holy Quran and have contemplation over the different aspects of revelation. Another thing is to avoid arrogance. وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَفَلَمْ تَكُنْ آيَاتِي تُتْلَى عَلَيْكُمْ فَاسْتَكْبَرْتُمْ. On the day of judgment, angels address disbelievers and they say, the verses of the Holy Quran or the verses of Revelation were recited to you, but you showed arrogance and you were not humble enough to accept the truth. So this is one reality that we have, that some people, because of the fact that they think, for example, if they show humility towards truth, they lose their personality, or some other beliefs that they have, they don't want to accept reality, they don't want to accept the truth. And this very thing stops them from having faith, or stops them from having a good faith. They feel embarrassed sometimes, I don't know how to put it, but this istikbar, this arrogance, stops them from having a good quality faith. And also, there are other verses that related to the nature of the life of the dunya, or this worldly life, that we talked a little bit when we were talking about looking and searching and studying previous nations. So all of these, in addition to other verses, lead one to increase his faith and also guard his faith against some of the things that decrease and reduce the faith, like sins and like mistakes, that inshallah we should talk about in a separate episode. Thank you very much for listening. Inshallah, join me in the next episode to talk about other aspects related to faith. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu ala Nabi, sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala ali Nabi.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
in the limelight.
Official data has revealed that German factory output fell in August to the lowest level this year. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. According to RT, the Federal Statistical Office revealed recently German industrial production dropped for the fourth month straight in August as factory activity faces a prolonged downturn. Production slid 0.2% from July, driven by the slowdown in construction and soaring energy prices, marking the lowest index for output recorded in Germany this year. German factories, as well as the country's economy as a whole, continue to struggle with a toxic combination of poor external demand, including from China, shortages of skilled workers, high interest rates, and the protracted fallout from last year's energy crisis. Markus Steilmann, president of the chemical association that represents industry giants such as BASF and Evonik Industries, told Bloomberg, "The situation is serious and the mood in our industry is bad." He referenced a survey in the chemical sector which revealed that the industry continues to decline due to weak demand and persistently high energy prices. The remark came after a recent warning from several companies in Germany's chemical industry, which said they might have to relocate parts of their production abroad because of unaffordable energy costs. European Central Bank President Christine Lagarde has acknowledged that the weakness of the European Union's largest economy is weighing on the entire bloc. Lagarde told La Tribune Dimanche in an interview published recently, Germany had built its economic model on very cheap energy supplies and on export opportunities, especially to China. The ongoing adjustment in the German economy is affecting the growth outlook. Experts say the fourth consecutive decline in German industrial production raises concerns about the country's economic prospects in the second half of this year. Martin Ademir from Bloomberg predicted, in the face of tighter financing conditions, weak global demand, and higher energy prices, GDP is likely to have shrunk in the third quarter and might grow only marginally in the final quarter of 2023. According to some estimates, the country's gross domestic product GDP is likely to have contracted by 0.1% in the third quarter and is expected to shrink by as much as 0.6% in the whole year of 2023. According to Reuters, German industrial output shrank in August for the fourth consecutive month, the Federal Statistics Office said recently, an indication that the sector remains under serious pressure, stoking recession fears. Industrial production fell slightly more than expected in August by 0.2% compared to the previous month. Analyst poll by Reuters had predicted a 0.1% decline. The further drop in German industrial production in August was better than it looked as it was driven by volatile components, said Franziska Palmas, senior Europe economist at Capital Economics. However, she continued to expect high interest rates and falling demand to lead to a further contraction in German industrial output in the coming months. Palmas said, "This is one of the reasons why we are anticipating German GDP to contract in both the third quarter and the fourth quarter this year." The statistics office revised July production data to a 0.6% decline month-on-month, compared with the provisional figure of an 0.8% drop. Reuters added the less volatile three-month comparison showed that production was 1.9% lower from June to August 2023 than in the previous 3 months. A 2.4% drop in production in construction on the previous month, a 6.6% decline in energy production, and a 2.3% fall in the manufacture of machinery and equipment hurt overall performance in August. Germany's manufacturing sector, which accounts for about a fifth of its economy, remains mired in a downturn. The HCOB Final Purchasing Managers Index, PMI, for manufacturing stood at 39.6 in September, far below the 50 level separating growth from contraction. Experts said retail sales, exports, and industrial production all disappointed in the first 2 months of the third quarter, suggesting that for the entire economy, the risk of falling back into contraction is uncomfortably high.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 25 meters, 11,645 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the Internet. Our Internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
English Radio, a herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hussain Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program Hadith of the Day here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we are going to be looking at a very beautiful and a very informative hadith. This hadith is about one of the spiritual maladies that afflicts a lot of people, which is the vice and the malady of bigotry, which we call in Arabic ta'assub. This is a concept which has been mentioned in the Holy Quran. The Quran references it in many of its verses. By way of example, let's look at one verse of the Holy Quran in which God Almighty, He mentions this vice and He scorns it. God says, when the faithless nourished bigotry in their hearts, the bigotry of pagan ignorance, Allah sent down His composure upon His apostle and upon the faithful, and made them abide by the word of God-wariness, piety. For they were the worthiest of it and deserved it, and Allah has knowledge of all things. So, in this beautiful verse of the Holy Quran, we see that God Almighty, He contrasts bigotry with God-wariness and piety, you know, thus indicating that these two are diametrically opposed to one another. And he couples bigotry with faithlessness, ignorance, and paganism, right? So, again, alluding to the fact that this bigotry, it stems from and it emanates from these other, these cardinal vices and, you know, immoral traits, ignorance and faithlessness and paganism. In any case, in some very beautiful hadith from the Holy Prophet, he speaks about bigotry as well. As you know, Islam came, it manifested and it was born in the Arabian Peninsula. The Arabs, they were very bigoted people. And, you know, they referred to non-Arabs as ajams. And this word comes from a word which is a reference and which is used in reference to animals which cannot speak, muted animals. This indicating the fact that everyone other than Arabs were, inferior to them and at the level of mute animals who cannot speak. In any case, so this is one of the vices that the Prophet had to combat, and it took a long time to eradicate from the hearts of, the Arabs. To what extent it was successful or not, that's another topic altogether. In this beautiful hadith, the Prophet says, whoever is bigoted or partial to a false cause, or incites partisanship around himself and his own causes unlawfully, the knot binding him to faith is untied from around his neck. And also, the Prophet said, whoever contains even a mustard seeds of weight of partisanship and bigotry in his heart, Allah will raise him on the day of resurrection among the tribes of pagan and clannish Arabia. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at bigotry in the words of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Until next time, wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Doing us now from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.